Well, friends, once again, it is time for midweek service, and we're not able to assemble in the house of God, but we're thankful we're able to bring the Word of God to you by this means. And we're coming back to our series in the book of Job, and we're in Job chapter 3. And in Job chapter 3, I want to read from the opening verse of the chapter as we come to consider this particular part of the book of Job. We've been in the opening two chapters, and we're now in chapter 3. And in chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man shall conceive. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined on to the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breasts that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest." And then we'll just move down to the verse 20. "Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat. My roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." I will end the reading there just at the end of the chapter. We're going to seek the Lord for a moment of prayer and ask the Lord to speak to us through his word. Heavenly Father, again we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. We know there is so much in thy word as we seek to dig into its treasures. And we pray as we consider thy word this evening that there will be those truths that will be applicable to our hearts and our lives. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless thy work in these days. Remember our land, remember our nation, remember your people. Lord, we pray for protection in these days. We pray for healing. We pray for guidance and direction. We ask for the salvation of sinners, the restoration of backsliders, the building up of your people. Lord, we cry out to thee. We thank thee that you are working all things after the counsel of your own will. Help us to be submissive to thee. Help us to acknowledge thee in all our ways. And thou hast promised to direct our paths. Draw us closer to thyself. Make us to be more like Christ. And make us to shine for light for thee as lights in this dark world. Come now and open up the word to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. It was, of course, the purpose of Satan that by causing Job to suffer the loss of possessions, family, livelihood and health, that Job would curse God. Satan failed in his purpose because Job did not curse God despite his terrible trials. When Job's trials came at first, he was humble and he was submissive. At the end of chapter 1, we find him worshipping God. We find him saying, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord give, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then the record of Scripture says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." When you read chapter 2, his sufferings come in another manner. With regard to his body and his health. And yet again at the end of that particular chapter, or down toward the end of the chapter, we find at the end of verse 10 of chapter 2, Job's reaction summarized like this: "In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Now we get here to chapter 3. And again, while Job does not curse God, he does curse his day, the day of his birth. Job was only human. He was subject to like passions as we are. And as his suffering continued and there did not seem to be an end in sight, well, it was no doubt hard to bear. And in the depths to which Job had been brought, he felt, as we read what he said in this chapter, that it would have been better for him never to have been born. This shows what a low point Job was at. Now, there are others in the record of Scripture, and even since the completion of Scripture, there have been others who in their day have been at such a place in their thinking, such a low point in their lives. I think of the prophet Jeremiah, and of course he had a difficult ministry. And in Jeremiah 15, in the verse 10, there was a point in Jeremiah's experience where he said, "Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me in usury, yet every one of them doth curse me." And then a few chapters later, in Jeremiah 20, and the verse 14, such was his feeling, and he said, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad." And in the verse 18, he said, "Wherefore came I forth out of the womb, to see labour and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame." And the words which Jeremiah spoke are very similar to what Job spoke here in Job chapter 3. Job was certainly at a low point. And of course these expressions of Job and Jeremiah were not really honouring to the Lord, because obviously God had an important purpose for Job's life and Jeremiah's, despite what they suffered. As we read about Job tonight in his word, we are still learning from him. As we read about Jeremiah, we are still learning about him and from him. Job was really at a point where he was overwhelmed by his circumstances. And we can't be too critical of Job, because if we had been in his shoes, we may have spoke the exact same words. I think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 61 verse 2, where he said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Job was overwhelmed. And I want us tonight just for a few moments to consider Job's outburst in this chapter. It's as if all his feelings have been bottled up and building up within him, and at this point he has to tell his three friends who have come to mourn with him and have sat for 7 days without saying anything. He has to tell them how he feels. And I want you to consider from what he says his deep grief. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day, and Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born." There's no doubt that Job was at a very low point here. Before he spoke these words at the end of chapter 2, his three friends had come and they had sat with him for 7 days, saying nothing, as they recognized that his grief was great. It's as if maybe they didn't want to say anything until he spoke. Now Job spoke. He just had to express how he felt within. And in the midst of his loss and his suffering, he reflected that it would have been better for him never to be born. That's how he honestly felt at this time in his life. He was in deep grief. Now, he was, of course, wishing for that which was impossible. That the day in which he was conceived and the day in which he was born might somehow no longer exist. Verse 3. "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived." He actually desired that the day of his birth might be removed from the calendar. Verse 6, "As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months." He actually desired that the joy that is normal when a child is born, that joy might not have taken place. He says there in verse 7, "Lo, let that night be solitary, let no joyful voice come therein." It's interesting to consider some references in the New Testament to the joy that the birth of a child does bring. In Luke chapter 1, and the verse 14, when the angel was speaking to Zacharias concerning the coming birth of John the Baptist, he said in Luke 1 verse 14, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." There's another reference in John 16, in the verse 21, when the Lord Jesus was speaking. And he said, "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." Oh, Job was to touch a low point. He's saying, oh, that joy had never taken place. Oh, that night had never happened when I was conceived and then when I was born. Child of God, you may face circumstances at times which bring you into deep grief. Or you may have someone in your family or among your friends that you seek to help through a time of deep grief. And you know, in our feelings of deep grief, we can come to the throne of grace. We can come to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. For we have a great high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have one who, because he suffered, he's able to succor them that suffer and are tempted. He was at all points tempted like as we are. And of course he suffered severely, most severely for our sins, as the great sacrifice, the great substitute. So there's Job's deep grief that clearly comes out in his words here in Job 3. But then I want you to think secondly about his questions. Job had questions in this outburst, in this chapter, and as we go through the book, he will have many more questions. He asks, why? Verse 11, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly of the womb?" He's asking, why did I not just die in the womb? Why did I not die very quickly after I was born? Verse 16, or as an hidden, untimely birth I had not been, as infants which never saw light. And he's also asking, why am I still permitted to live when I endure such suffering? Down in the verse 23, why is life given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God had hedged in? He had questions. And he's going to have many more questions. Why had he been permitted to be born, to live to this point, who gets no blessing and now suffer so terribly? Well, surely the answer to these questions was that God had a purpose for Job's life. A purpose that would bring glory to God despite all that Job had to suffer. Job had many other questions. So we read on through the book. Questions which God did not answer. And as someone has pointed out, even if God had answered all the questions Job asked, could he have handled the answers? There are questions we may ask in life that God may not give us the answer to. But you know, all this asking why brings us to a few verses in Romans chapter 11. The only answer we can expect to some of the questions we ask, why? Well, in Romans 11 verse 33, the Apostle Paul wrote this concerning God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. God is unsearchable. His ways are unsearchable. As I thought about Job's questions as to why he had been permitted to be born and get to this point in life and then suffer so severely, I considered that there is one individual of whom the Lord Jesus said it would have been better for him that he never had been born. That's a solemn thought, and I refer to what the Lord Jesus said about Judas Iscariot. In Matthew 26, the Lord Jesus had sat down with the 12 to eat the Passover meal with them, and he announced to them that one of their number was going to betray him. And that brought sorrow to their hearts. And it caused the 12 to ask, Lord, is it I? Not, Lord, is it him? And the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 26 and 24, the Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. What solemn words. But for Job, despite his sufferings, it was good for him to have been born and to grow up and to come to know God and to be blessed by God. And at the end of the book of Job, we discover that through all Job's sufferings, he came to know God in a closer way. In Job 42 and 5, he said to God, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. In other words, he was saying, I know thee now in a closer way. And of course, at the end of the book, in Job 42 and 12, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. You know, I thought of how Job, through his sufferings, came to know God in a closer manner. And I thought of the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian church in Philippians 3 and 10. And he expressed the longing of his heart that he might know the Lord in a closer manner. And this is what he wrote, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And he mentions there this fellowship of his sufferings. And of course in 1 Peter 2, 21-23, Peter wrote to suffering believers, and he wrote of the example the Lord Jesus left even in his sufferings. And it's an example we're to follow. And you know, we're reminded again that no matter what we have to suffer, the Lord Jesus suffered much more. So in this outburst, there's the deep grief that clearly Job was experiencing. There are the questions that he asks. But as we finish, I just want to mention his desire at this point in his life. Because as we read the chapter, we discover that at this point, Job really desired to be taken away from the sufferings of life through death. Because in verse 20 of Job 3, he said, "Wherefore is life given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasure, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is life given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hid?" He desired death. Now, he did not suggest taking his own life, but he did desire death. And of course, at the end of the record of the book, he did die. The very last verse of the book says he died being old and full of years. But you know, there were many things that happened between him desiring death in chapter 3 and his actual death in chapter 42. Many things to happen in his sanctification before the day death came. You see, God is at work to finish in his people before he takes us to be with himself. I've mentioned Paul writing to the Philippians. And in Philippians 1 verse 6, as Paul wrote to these believers, he wrote this: "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And later on in Philippians 1 and verse 21, Paul wrote, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul was pulled in two directions. He had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, but at the same time, he had a desire to be used even for longer here upon earth. You know, there were others on the record of the Word of God who desired death, but God had more for them to do in this life. I think of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. And in the verse 4, he himself went the day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and let him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. God still had work for Elijah to do. I think even of Jonah. God had used him in a way that he didn't really appreciate. And you will find that in Jonah chapter 4 verse 8, that it came to pass when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Oh, let us rather desire to finish our course, to keep the faith, that we might be able to say at the end, "But Paul, I've fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." We want to submit even to our sufferings, like our Savior, and like we're exhorted to do. 1 Peter 4:19, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God Commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. Well, Job was at a low point in his life, and we can learn from his experience. And indeed, there's much more that we will learn by God's grace from his experience as we go through this book of Job. And so may the Lord even write his word upon our hearts and help us even in our own homes to seek his face in prayer.